So we're turning again to the book of Philippians this morning, please, in the chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we will commence reading at the verse number 1. Again, just a short reading down to the end of verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 7, we look to the Lord to bless the reading of His Word. Let's still our hearts, please, in another word of prayer as we come to His Word for this morning. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee again for Thy Word. We praise Thee, Lord, for the living oracles of God. Eternal God, now as we would turn our attention to consider this Word for this time, it is our prayer that You come and speak to us. It is, Lord, our desire that we would hear the voice of God. Lord, far beyond any other voice, Lord, far beyond the voice of this preacher, Lord, we long to hear Thy voice. Eternal God, we pray that You'll come. Make this word live in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that these will not be just mere words on a page. But, O God, we pray that they will truly be the words of God to our souls today. O God, speak, we pray. Heavenly Father, we cry unto Thee for the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Aid us, Lord, in our understanding. We pray, Lord, that we may understand and know more of Thy great truth today. So hear and answer prayer. God, we wait before Thee. Lord, our eyes are toward Thee. Come and help us, we pray. Come and teach us and instruct us out of the word of truth. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last Lord's Day morning, we spent some time looking at what we had entitled A Word to Warriors. And given the feedback that I have received this past week from that message, I think that we conclude that many of us are warriors of all, some form or other. But I was asked at the door last Sunday morning on the way out if I was coming back to consider verse number 7. I hadn't planned to do so. Yet the more I thought about it, the more I realized that just a few thoughts at the end of last week's message really did not do this verse justice. This verse 7 closes out for us another section of this book. And it is as if Paul has been reaching a crescendo even from verse number 1. And here in verse number 7, he really hits the high note, particularly in light of what he has been saying about in verse number 6 about anxiety and worry and concern that often causes the people of God trouble and pain when we worry about things we're not at peace. And so how fitting that Paul speaks to us here of what we can have instead of worry, that we can have God's peace. Just for a second, let me recap over verse number 6, how that the Apostle Paul, under divine inspiration, has been encouraging God's people not to be full of care about things. And remember, he's writing in the context of those who are seeking to live a godly life, seeking to strive after Christ-likeness, to those who are seeking, by the help of God, to live for God. And he says to such, be careful for nothing. And then he goes on and exhorts in the rest of the verse, essentially to be then prayerful about everything. to bring all those anxieties, all those worries, all those troubles, to bring them, no matter how small they may seem, to bring them to the Lord in prayer. And then he continues in verse 7 with the alternative to worry, and that is peace. Because when we leave everything in the hands of the Lord, then we can know and we can experience the peace of God. Who would not want to know this peace? Who instead of worry would not want to know peace? Who would not want to live a life of peace rather than a life of worry? So in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of those worries, and as you bring those worries to the Lord in prayer, as we considered last week, how the Lord answers our prayers is really not the issue here in the mind of the Apostle Paul. Whether the Lord answers our prayers in the way we think or in the way we want or the way we desire is really not the matter here. Paul doesn't say that as you bring those worries to the Lord in prayer, that the Lord will answer the prayer in the way we are expecting. In fact, he doesn't say anything about answering prayer in these verses 6 and 7. No, he says, whatever way and in whatever form the Lord answers prayer, the more important thing is that we can know God's peace. That as we bring all these things to the Lord in prayer, and as we leave them with the Lord, no matter how he may, in his sovereign plan and purpose, answer our prayers, we can know his peace. And that's why I feel it is right then that we come back and look at verse 7. Because it is true that when we seek the Lord's face and we bring those worries, those cares to the Lord in prayer, that perhaps we are looking for a specific answer to prayer. And as we've exhorted in the past, we are encouraged to pray specifically. But more than any answer, we can know God's peace. In whatever way the Lord answers prayer, we can still and we must still know God's peace. You take, for example, how that we and many others have held seasons of prayer for our province. And as we have said last week, we're going to hold another one in a few weeks' time. And we've been meaning to pray specifically that the ungodly legislation that came our way back a few weeks ago, that God would repeal those and God would remove those. God answered prayer, I believe. But he did not answer prayer in the way we were thinking or the way we were expecting. But more than that, even though he did not answer prayer in the way we thought, we can still know God's peace. As I speak to other Christians and other believers today, I believe there is a great concern, a great worry, rightly so, about our province. And I believe that these words in verse 7 are a word in season to God's people and to God's church at this time. That no matter how God answers prayer, and no matter in what way God answers prayer, in it all, we can still know God's peace, no matter what that answer may be. Very simply this morning, I want us to think about God's perfect peace as we see it here in verse number 7. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the explanation of this peace. The explanation of this peace. I want us to seek, by the help of God, to explain what is this peace. And the more I've looked at this and the more I've tried to study it, it's not an easy thing to explain. And remember, it's God's peace. We're not talking here about some man-made, manufactured peace. It is the peace of God. In other words, it is the peace that God has right now. It is God's peace. It is that peace that He, as the Almighty, all-powerful, sovereign God, possesses right now. And yet the amazing thing is that as we come to verse 7, we can have that peace as well. It is God's gift to His people. As you bring everything to the Lord in prayer, as you pray, you plead, you praise, as we saw last week with thanksgiving, as you do it, God says, I will give you my peace. Before we come to consider the peace of God, it is very important that we point out, first of all, that there needs to be peace with God. Before we can know the peace of God, there must be peace with God. Because you see, in natural man, in his dark and depraved state by nature, he cannot know the peace of God because he is at war with God. He is at enmity with God. And today, for those who are in this meeting without Christ, you can never know the peace of God. You must first of all come to know peace with God. You need to realize today that you are a sinner, separated from God, at enmity with God, far from God. But you also need to know that that great gulf that currently is fixed between you and God can be spanned and can be overcome by a faith that is resting entirely on Jesus Christ, who, as we noticed last week, is the mediator of this peace. Paul says, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's today how we can know peace with God. And the problem is today that in this society, everybody is looking for the peace of God, but they do not want to know peace with God. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They turn their back on the gospel of saving grace. And yet they still expect to know the peace of God. And yet they will not come to know peace with God, first of all. It is very important. Very important. That we realize that there is an order in God's peace. For you to know the peace of God, you must first of all know peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ by turning from your sin, repenting of that sin, and by faith trusting only in Jesus Christ. Do you know peace with God today? As you sit in this meeting this morning, can you say it's well with your soul? Do you know God's peace? That peace that was made on our behalf at the cross of Calvary, when Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Do you know peace with God today? Because you will never know the peace of God. This peace that we're going to go on and explain and consider now this morning, you will never know it. First of all, you don't know peace with God. So having just explained that for a moment, then let's go on to consider what is the peace of God. For those who have peace with God, for those who have been brought into that covenant relationship with God, saved, washed in the blood, what then is the peace of God? Let me come back to what we said. That right now, in the mind of an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God, in the mind of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there is peace right now. There is no concern, there is no worry, there is no consternation in the mind of Almighty God. Why? Because God has planned everything. God has purposed everything. There is absolutely nothing today, absolutely nothing that takes place in your life, my life, in our land, in our homes, in our country. There is nothing that takes God by surprise. Nothing. If we believe that the events that take place in our land somehow are an amazement of God, then God has been dethroned. And God has not been dethroned and never will be dethroned. God is in control, not man. There is nothing that takes God by surprise. And listen, folks, there is nothing that happens outside the divine, decretive will of God. The events that take place on the world stage, on a national stage, on a local level, all those events are not ultimately the actions of man. They are the outworking of God's decrees and plans. You will know that, as far as I am concerned, one of the most thrilling aspects of the character, the nature of God, one of the most comforting aspects of the nature of God for the child of God is His sovereignty. His absolute, His total sovereignty. As we pointed out in the past, it is not that God and man works together and cooperates together. No, God is working all things according to the counsel of His will, of His plan. God has decreed all things that take place. And that is why I say today that there is no concern, no anxiety, no worry in the mind of an all-powerful God, a sovereign God. The actions of sinful humanity, the wickedness of God's creation, yes, most certainly, grieve the heart of God. Most certainly. But they do not cause God any concern or worry, because He is working all things out. And so today there is peace in the mind of a triune God, a sovereign God, because there is no action of man. There is no action of any government. There is no action of any movement that can thwart or upset or derail the providences of God. Behind everything that takes place in this world, there is the hand of God at work. God is working all things together. And folks, I know I'm going over ground that we covered last week, but Romans 8 verse 28 is always the verse we must resort to. When things happen in our lives, all things work together for good. Please be assured today that no ungodly government passing laws contrary to the Word of God is causing concern in the mind of Almighty God. Be assured that no sodomite going under the guise of equal rights or no child murderer going under the guise of pro-choice, none are causing anxiety or worry to Almighty God, because He knows one day One day they will stand before him to give an account. And one day their sin will catch up with them. Right now, in the mind of God, there is peace because he is in control. He is in control. And his creation and his creatures act according to his plan and his purpose. And folks, today, when that gets into our minds, when we see all the events that take place, those things that would cause us concern, and rightly so, when we see that there is a God in heaven who is in control, then we can know that peace that he presently has, he currently has, that peace that can be ours. Furthermore, in the mind of God right now, there is perfect peace that he will supply our every need. When change comes, change happens, and we do not know how it's all going to work out, and we do not know how God is going to meet the need, that can cause us concern and worry too. Perhaps something that happens in our lives, some trouble, some upset comes our way, and we wonder, how is this going to work out? How can our need be met now? Right now, in the mind of Almighty God, there is no concern about that. Because no matter how great our need may be, we can never run dry the resources of God through Christ. There is no limit to the resources of heaven. There is no limit today. And no matter how much we draw on those resources, and no matter how much the Lord gives us, there is still more for us to experience through him. He will always meet our need. Always meet our need. The God who met the need there on Mount Moriah, when he provided the ram, that same Jehovah Jireh God is still our God today and still meets every need of his people. And to know today, to rest in that assurance that my God knows what I need, and more than that, that he can meet that need, that brings peace. To know that there's no concern that somehow that the resources of heaven will run dry or they'll run out. But to know, as we'll go on to see at some stage down the future, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, whenever we grasp that more and more, we allow the truth of who God is to sink into our hearts and minds more and more, then we can know this peace. This peace that is of God and this peace that is from God. God is a God of peace. God is a God who is at peace today, despite what happens or unfolds in this world of his. The explanation of this peace. And I want you to see as well, in the second place, the experiencing of this peace. As we've already said, those who are saved, washed, cleansed in the blood, forgiven, redeemed, every saved soul has peace with God. It's a fundamental aspect of our salvation. Peace with God. Reconciled to God. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Reconciliation is the outworking of regeneration. Regenerated, born anew, brought into the family of God, reconciled to God. While every child of God has peace with God, I think as you read verses 6 and 7, you will see that not every child of God experiences the peace of God. Otherwise, why did Paul have to write, "Be careful for nothing"? So while we have the peace with God, reconciled to God, yet it is clear that we don't always experience the peace of God. How is that? Why is that? But I think as we considered last week, we have the answer. And as I said last week, I was preaching as much to myself as to anybody else. Because isn't it so true that we as the people of God carry so many of the burdens ourselves? Isn't it true that we try to work our own way through situations? Try to work out our own particular circumstances without leaving everything in the hand of God? Thinking that perhaps there are things that trouble us that we think would be of no concern of God. Thinking that there are matters in our life that perhaps are, if we were to tell anybody about, they would think that, well, there's no point and no need to be worrying about that. Yet they're a worry to us, and then we think, well, we can't bring that to God because perhaps he's too concerned or not interested. As we said last week, if it matters to you, it matters to him. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. But there are times when we do not surrender our entire lives to God. And as a result then, we don't bring everything to him by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We don't make our requests made known unto him. And as a result, we don't have the peace of God. There's trouble in our hearts. There's trouble in our minds. So I think you will conclude from verse number 6 going into verse number 7 that while the peace with God is based on the saving faith in the finished work of Christ, yet the peace of God is dependent on faithful, wholehearted, surrendered lives in prayer. The connection between verse 6 and 7, I trust, is clear. He says, as you bring everything, you make all your requests made known unto God, then the peace of God and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. So there is a clear connection. By bringing everything, all those troubles, no matter how small they may seem, bringing them all to him in prayer and leaving him to work them out. David, the psalmist David, was a man who knew what it was to have great trouble in his life. A man who had to experience the rebellion of his own son. And what a pain and heartache that must have been. A man who experienced even his closest friends turning against him. Ahithophel, his trusted advisor, conspiring with Absalom against David. And yet you read verse Psalm 55. And as he goes through all those multitude of emotions, he comes to the end of that psalm, in the verse 22, and he says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall strengthen thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And that word cast there in verse 22 of Psalm 55, it means to give. It means a gift. The burden means a gift. In other words, what God has given to you or to me, we're to give back to him. Those burdens that come upon our way, the Lord doesn't ask us to carry them ourselves. He says, "Cast them to me, give them to me." That which I have given to you in his own plan and purpose, and we do not understand the ways of God. He says, "That which I have given to you, you give now back to me in prayer. Cast thy burden upon the Lord." Marvin Vincent, the man who compiled the tremendous word studies of Scripture, he put it very well when he said, "Peace with God describes the state between God and the Christian. But the peace of God describes the condition within the Christian." And that's very true. For us to experience this peace, therefore, there must be this total, absolute surrender to the Lord, this close fellowship, this close communion with the Lord. You see, whenever we take things into our own hands and leave the Lord out of our plans, we're denying the power of God. We're denying the peace of God. When we look to ourselves rather than looking to him, anxiety and worry will flow. This peace can be ours today when we leave everything to the Lord in prayer. And I think I pointed this out last week. We look for radical options, don't we? We look for something novel. How can I deal with this? Something comes your pathway and you're not expecting it. It was the last thing upon your mind. And how do you deal with it? You bring it to the Lord in prayer. You leave it with him. Let him deal with it. And as he deals with it, he says, "Peace of God shall be your experience." This peace that passeth all understanding. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to someone else. And as we've said, particularly in our own circumstances here in our province, do not look today to a government that doesn't exist in Stormont, or a government that does exist in Westminster, or a power that hopefully will be free from in Europe very soon. Don't look to man today. Don't. Look to the Lord. It seems so basic, it seems so fundamental, but we need to get our eyes, the Church of Jesus Christ today, the people of God like never before, we need to get our eyes on the Lord today. Because as we do so, we can know his peace. Dear Christian, today there is no therapy in this world that can give this peace to you. There's no technique devised by man that can give you this peace. We live in a fallen world and we'll never know peace when we constantly and continually look to fallen man in this fallen world. But it's when we continually, constantly look to Christ who, as we saw last week, is the mediator, the executor, the guarantor of this peace. We know God's peace through Christ. When we keep close to Him, when we walk close to Him, when we look continually to Him, then we can experience that peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, and it's the mind that's under attack today, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. This peace that Paul speaks about here in Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 7, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's how to experience the peace of God, an absolute, total confidence in the Lord. We move on quickly. The explanation of this peace, the experiencing of this peace, but finally, there is the enjoyment of this peace. We come back to verse 7 again, and particularly that word keep in verse 7, shall keep. We noticed last week that it means a guard. It carries the idea of a soldier on duty. And therefore, the peace of God is that soldier and the duty in the front of our lives and hearts and minds to keep out the worry, to keep out the concern. Because when we have the peace of God in our lives, it will be that buffer, it will be that barrier, it will guard our lives, it will garrison our minds against worry and anxiety. The inward life, the inward mind, the inward heart, which can so often be attacked by the outward circumstances, be attacked by the outward situation, pressures from outside. But Paul here says the peace of God will keep all those things outside and keep the man inside at peace. It's a wonderful picture there, word picture that Paul paints for us under divine inspiration. All those outside things that would worry the child of God, cause anxiety to the child of God, between the outside and the inside, there's the peace of God. And that peace shall keep out the outward and keep the inward at peace. That's the enjoyment of this peace today. Between the believer and the outward situations that would threaten us, there is the guard, there is the protection, the peace of God. God's peace in the midst of great affliction and great upset. God's peace today is the buffer in our minds and our hearts and our lives to keep out those things that would cause us anxiety and worry. On down in this chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That's quite a statement. That's quite a statement. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Verse 11, I believe, is the outworking of verse 7. God's perfect peace, keeping the heart and mind of the great apostle Paul. And he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Because between him and those situations that would threaten, there is the peace of God. Nicholas Ridley, who along with Hugh Latimer was burned at the stake for their refusal to recant and renounce their faith. The night before Ridley was due to be put to death, was in the prison cell there in Oxford, And his brother came, Ridley's brother came to him and said to him, "Nicholas, I want to spend the night with you because I want to be of some comfort and I want to be of some peace to you in this your final night." Nicholas Ridley turned to his brother and said, "I will go to bed tonight and sleep as well as I did every other night, because I have the peace of God." A man facing his death, a man being burned for his faith, he had the peace of God. That's what Paul is speaking about in verse 7. That's real living faith, folks. That's not some superficial, empty profession. This is real faith depending on God. This is whatsoever state he found himself in to be content. Facing death, and he was still content. We started our series on Thursday night past, the prayer meeting. Throughout the book of Hebrews, looking at these different letters, patches or passages. But as I pointed out on Friday, on Thursday night, the aim of the Apostle Paul throughout the book of Hebrews, and of course in all of his writings, his aim was to constantly direct the minds of the Hebrew believers to Christ. Constantly that they might see Christ. Continually that they might see Christ and that they would live closer to him. Because the closer we are in fellowship with him, the more we'll experience the peace of God. You want to see the most peaceful person? Then I'll show you the most godly person. And in the 6 years now that I have been in this congregation, I have come across some very godly people. And I've also at the same time come across some very peaceful people because they are at peace with God. And God's peace, no matter what they had to face, was flooding their heart and their mind. The story is told of a wounded soldier who's been taken home, taken off the battlefield, by his comrades who had been wounded in battle. They carried him a short distance, but he said to them, "Please put me down. Go and rescue someone else." He knew he was mortally wounded. He knew that his life would come to an end. He knew there was no hope for him. But those who were taking him off the battlefield said, "No, we must get you back to the hospital tent." He said, "No, you must put me down and go and rescue somebody else." They granted him his request eventually. And they went to seek to rescue someone else. But another soldier came by the way of the wounded soldier. And he said, "Is there any way I can help you at all, sir?" The man who was dying says, "Well, no thank you, sir. There's nothing you can do for me." But he said, "Surely I can get you a drink of water, even to ease your thirst at this time." The dying man said, no thank you. And then just a very short moment afterwards, he said, "Well, perhaps there is one thing you can do. Would you take my knapsack? And in my knapsack, there is a little Bible. And would you open that Bible and would you turn to the 14th chapter? And somewhere towards the end of John chapter 14, there are words I want you to read. It starts with the word peace." The soldier looked in the knapsack and found the little Bible, found John's gospel, found chapter 14, scanned the chapter looking for this verse, starting with the word peace. He found verse 27. And the man who was dying said, "Sir, would you read that verse to me?" The officer found the passage and he read those words, "Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The man who was dying, his life ebbing away, he said, "Thank you, sir. I have that peace that I am going home now to be with my Savior who made that promise." He said, "God is with me, and I want nothing more." In a few short hours, that man went out into eternity, into the presence of his Lord. He died at peace because he had the peace of God flooding his soul, flooding his heart. Peace, perfect peace, the hymn writer says. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, on Jesus' bosom naught but calm is found. Peace rules the day when Christ rules the heart. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May we experience that peace more and more. May we know that peace in a greater measure than ever before as we seek to live close to the Lord. Let's bow.